Let's begin in Jeremiah chapter 6. That's on page 874 in the New King James Version Chair Bible. If you'd like to follow along, I'll turn to a few passages this morning using that copy of God's Word. Page 874, Jeremiah chapter 6. In Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, in the Legacy Standard Bible translation, we read, "Trust in Yahweh with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear Yahweh and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones." As the Lord wills, in 2022, we are considering the theme together, Trust in the Lord. And this summer, we are giving particular attention to verse 6, in which we are encouraging one another in all of our ways to acknowledge Him. And so, as we think about Proverbs 3, verse 6 this summer, and as we are reading through the book of Jeremiah, God's prophet, it seemed altogether proper for us this morning to consider a lesson from chapter 6, verse 16. Legacy Standard Bible Translation again. Thus says Yahweh, "Stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it." The New King James translation says, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it." As we continue to look at Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 in different translations, of course, the Holy Spirit carried the prophet Jeremiah along to write down these words in the Hebrew language. And in the Hebrew language, I believe that the sense of the words that the Holy Spirit used are best presented to us in English in the NIV translation and in some of the other more modern translations. This is the sense of what the Lord is saying to His people through the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 6, verse 16. Stand at the crossroads. These people were at a crossroads in their lives. And for such a time as this, the true and living God raised up the prophet Jeremiah, and He sent Jeremiah to say to His people, stand at the crossroads of your lives and look. And while you're standing there and while you're looking, ask. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is. And don't just stand at the crossroads of your life and look. And don't just ask. But walk in it. And when you do those things, then you will find rest. And you won't just find rest at the end of a long, hard work day. You will find rest for your souls. The people of Jeremiah's day responded to the Lord with these words, "We will not walk in it." One of the expressions that's common to every translation of this verse is where the good way is. And that's what I want to encourage us in this morning as we consider the theme of trusting in the Lord and acknowledging Him in all of our ways, that we would consider that At whatever crossroads of our lives we find ourselves in, there is a way where the good way is. Stand at the crossroads and look. And so this Hebrew word means to tarry. It means to delay. It means to remain and continue and to abide. To be steadfast. We live in a time very much like Jeremiah's time as it pertains to human nature, but we live in a very different time as it pertains to technology and information and attention span. I mean, we just scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll and swipe and swipe and swipe. And the true and living God says, that's not where the good way is. That's not how you're going to find rest for your souls. The way you're going to find rest for your souls is to slow down and just to stop everything. And to remain in one place at the crossroads and look. The word that's translated ways in the New King James and crossroads in some of the others, it's our word from Proverbs 3 verse 6. Acknowledge Him. And He will direct your paths. And so the crossroads here, the ways under discussion, that's how we live. It's our course of life. It's our mode of action. And so we're standing at the crossroads and we're still and we're looking and we're thinking. And we're thinking about the two paths that are before us, and we are thinking about our lives, and we're thinking about what we think about, and we are thinking about what we talk about, and we're thinking about how we are living, and we are thinking about how all of that pertains to our relationship with the true and living God. And He's calling us to that because there's just some things that He wants us to see. There are some things that He wants us to look at, to inspect, to perceive, to consider. And so as we stand at the crossroads and as we look, we are called to ask, to inquire by implication, to request. I love the evolution, if you will, of this word. It starts out and we're inquiring, and then we're it's even deeper, we're requesting, and then ultimately what we're demanding. Ask for the ancient paths. And so as we continue to encourage one another to consider our individual personal relationship with the true and living God and our collective relationship with God, there are some things that He has just called us to do. And this is one of them. Ask requires action on my part. At the beginning of the New Covenant, at the beginning of the New Testament, at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, He preached a sermon that is about the kingdom. It is the gospel of the kingdom. And in the context of the gospel of the kingdom, the King of the kingdom would say these words, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Ask for the ancient paths. We'll turn our attention to Daniel soon. And when we come to Daniel, the 7th chapter, we're going to witness by faith as Daniel saw in his vision. We are going to witness by faith the ascension of Jesus almost 700 years before He even became flesh and dwelt among us. We are going to witness the ascension of Jesus before He becomes flesh and dies and is buried and rises on the third day. And some 40 days later, we are going to witness by faith in Daniel 7 the ascension of Jesus, the Son of Man. And Luke's Son of Man, the Gospel of Luke's Son of Man, when He returns to the place that He departed for the purpose of becoming the only begotten God, the only begotten Son of God, He comes to the Ancient of Days. Who is this Jesus, according to Moses and the prophets? He is the divine Messiah whose ways are from everlasting to everlasting. Beloved, we live in a time in which there are just too many of God's people who have the spirit of the Athenians of Acts the 17th chapter. Paul's soul was just stirred in Athens because they were worshiping every god under the sun, and they had even built this temple, this memorial, this altar to the unknown God, and he took the opportunity to go to a place where people would gather for the sole purpose of, and I quote the Holy Spirit, hearing something new. If that's your spirit this morning, you need to repent. You desperately need to repent of that. Because if that's your spirit, you're going to miss the Ancient of Days. And you're going to miss Jesus. And you're going to miss the Holy Spirit of God. And you're going to miss heaven itself. Because the way to God is not new. It is ancient. And He has revealed it to us in such a way that we don't have to be chasing every new thing and be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine and just constantly searching out another teacher and another podcast and another YouTube video and another. There is a voice, and He has spoken, and He has been speaking, and He is continually speaking through His Word that is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Ask for the ancient paths. This word is a different word than in Proverbs 3:6, but it has a very similar definition. It's referring to a path that is well-worn. It's been trodden with the feet. And so, in the gospel of the kingdom, the king, the author and finisher of our faith, the David of Jeremiah, the coming David of Jeremiah, the one who is of the seed of David, the offspring of David, says to us in Matthew the 7th chapter, and in verse 13, on page 1118, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. And the reason why people in their lives stand at the crossroads and look at these two options before them, the reason why they choose the broad gate, and I quote, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. I can tell you that that is true because the one who said it is the embodiment of truth. The one who said it is the one who doesn't lie. The one who said it is the one in whom is yes and in whom is no. The one who said it referred to himself as the way, the truth, and the life. But I'll tell you, I also know that that's a true statement from my own experience. It's a lot easier to drive around Alabama than it is in Virginia. I want to tell you something about the roads in Alabama. They're just wider. You go to a place in Alabama and you go to the parking lot and there's just this great big old space and I can just wheel in and out of there. And here everything is just so narrow. Everybody's moving so fast all around you and there's just this razor's edge between safety and danger. I tell you, there are a lot of people from Alabama that move up here and they just can't wait to get back. I've never known anybody from Kentucky who didn't want to go back to Kentucky. And all they ever talked about was Kentucky. And there's one of them right there. What Jesus is saying to us there is something that those of us who have begun following know from our experience. And so why would we choose a path at the crossroads that we know is going to be hard because of where it's going? That's why. Because of where it's going. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. And only a few find it because only a few obey all these commands that we're reading in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, that are repeated in the Sermon on the Mount, that are a part of the New Covenant. So what is the call? The call is to stand at the crossroads and to examine yourself and to say, okay, who am I and how am I living and what do I understand about Yahweh, about the Lord, about the God who is calling me to this little exercise? What do you believe about God? What do you believe about the God who is calling you to ask for the ancient path, to ask for the old path, to ask for the narrow way? What do you believe about Him? Do you believe that He is love and that He is gracious and merciful and that He loves you and cares about you and only wants, always, at all times, in every moment of your life, all He wants is what is best for you? Do you believe that about Him this morning? Jesus would say, no one is good but one, that is God. And He's talking about our God and Father in heaven, but He's also talking about Himself there because He is God. He's also talking about the Holy Spirit there as well. No one is good but one, that is the true and living God. In the absolute, our goodness does not compare to His. He is glorious in goodness. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights through the only begotten Son, through the Holy Spirit, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And one of the great lessons that we need to learn this morning and that we need to be learning from the prophets is God has spoken, Hebrews 1 verse 1, in time past, He spoke in various ways, but in these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son. But He has spoken, and when He spoke in the past, do you know what He did? He told us what is good. We're without excuse. Do you see that this morning? You are without excuse. I am without excuse. This is the beginning of the gospel of Christ in the book of Romans. We are all without excuse. And the reason why we are without excuse is because God has spoken. And if you want to to stop at the crossroads of your life and you want to find God and you want to find His way for your life, He's made it possible for you. It's right here. And I want to tell you what I do as an evangelist and what the shepherds here do as shepherds. What we do is we shepherd folks to the Word and we say, okay, I'm going to get out of the way of God. I'm going to get out of the way of Jesus. I'm going to get out of the way of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to let God work in your life. And if you look into His perfect law of liberty with a good and honest heart, and you say in the spirit of Samuel, speak, Lord, for your servant hears, then this is what you're going to hear Him say to you by faith. Stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. And then you're going to be faced with a choice. You're going to be faced with a choice of whether or not you like that or you don't like that, and whether or not you're going to continue to walk in a way that's going absolutely nowhere in this life and is going somewhere awful in the next, or to walk in a path that the Lord is telling you from the beginning, yeah, it's going to be hard, but it's going somewhere. Live in the good way. Walk in the ancient paths, the old paths. Stay within the bounds of the old paths. This is the call of Christ in the new covenant. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Who is this Jesus? He is the Son of the Ancient of Days. He is the one who's going for us. Micah 5 verse 2 are from everlasting to everlasting. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And this expression in Jeremiah 6:16, you will find rest for your souls. I love that last aspect of that there. Joshua touched on this in class this morning. To be present. I have rest for my soul now in Christ Jesus. There is a rest that remains for the people of God. That's why our salvation is in three tenses. It's in the past tense, it's in the present tense, and it's in the future tense. And so past tense, when I obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm justified by the blood of the Lamb. Present tense, I am in the process of sanctification. Future tense, glorification. I have not yet experienced that, but I have already experienced justification. And that's where we live. We live in this tension between the already and the not yet. And if you're going to live in the tension between the already and the not yet, then you're going to have to live by faith. You're going to have to walk by faith. You're going to have to grow in your faith. You're going to have to recognize by faith that if you have Jesus, then you have present tense rest for your souls. You have present tense a resting place. When we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are baptized into Christ. And from then on out, our relationship is spoken of as being in Him. In Him. There is rest for who you really are. You know, flesh and blood, and it's all wasting away. But what is within you, the essence of you, who you really are, that's where you really need rest. That's where you really need God. That's where you really need Jesus. And so, the language of Jeremiah 6 verse 16 is the language of Jesus. And He uses this language in Matthew the 11th chapter to communicate to us His invitation. And His invitation, in His words, on page 1124, is simply, come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's not talking about blue-collar workers who have just worn their bodies out through heavy labor. Look at what he says in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest where? Not for your tired and broken and burdened body, but for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The invitation of Jesus is just simply, come to me, follow me. And if you come to me and you follow me, I will give you rest. And I want to tell you, when I consider all of that right there, I really love that Jesus. That Jesus right there is a Jesus that I can get behind and that I can love and appreciate and celebrate and rejoice in and worship. I like this Jesus. Come to me, follow me, I'll give you rest. But when we go back to Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, what we see is that the response of the people to the true and living God in Jeremiah's day was, we will not walk in it. And so what Jeremiah is about is this choice, Yahweh's good way and my choice. And so when it comes to Yahweh's good way and my choice, I have the same opportunity that they did. I can either submit to His good way or I can rebel against it. And what we're going to see throughout the prophets, and in particular Jeremiah, as we continue reading throughout, is that rebellion results in punishment. Jeremiah lived to see Judah taken into captivity, the temple destroyed, and the walls demolished. And so as we think about this Jesus, I want us to understand that we all love this Jesus. But that's not all there is to Jesus. Jesus is sovereign, which means that He is a ruler. And sovereignty communicates that He rules over everything. And so Jesus is a king, which means He has a kingdom, and there are citizens in His kingdom that are accountable to His law. Jesus is Lord, which means that He is an owner. There are some folks that Jesus owns. He's purchased them with His own blood. They now belong to Him. He is Lord of them. Jesus has a church, and He's the head of it. He is the head of the body, which is the church, and the church, which is His body, it consists of individual members of which He is the head. He is the master of those who accept His invitation and come to learn of Him. And so in that aspect of that, of our relationship with Him, we are His learners. We are His pupils. We are His disciples. We're not just sitting at His feet to learn lessons. We're not just sitting at His feet so we can take some notes and we can say, okay, the title of this lesson is Where the Good Way Is, Jason Cicero, August 7th, 2022. And the bullet points are, and those are the three lessons, and now the lesson is mine. Jesus hasn't called us to play church. A lot of games we play as kids that we got to grow out of that. We got to grow up into maturity. We got to know who this Jesus is. And so, beloved, when it comes to answering the call, when it comes to answering the invitation of Jesus, is He sovereign over everything about you? Do you recognize His rule? And that is the primary definition of the word kingdom. Do you recognize His rule in your life? Do you know where Jesus starts with the gospel of the kingdom? Blessed are the poor in spirit. What's going on inside of you? If you're proud and you're full of yourself, there's not room for you in His kingdom. And Jeremiah talks about that almost from chapter 1 through chapter 52. Pride. The wisdom literature of our theme. Pride goes before a fall. And so what does Jesus start with in the gospel of the kingdom? He starts with character and He says, listen, you got to get out of your way. You got to be poor in spirit. And you got to understand who I am. I am the sovereign ruler. I am the king of this kingdom. And I want to rule you from the inside out. I want my throne to be in your heart. And I want to rule over every aspect of your life. You belong to me. I am the Lord of Lords. I am your Lord. When you obeyed my gospel, Jesus wants you to know, I added you to my church. When a person obeys the gospel, according to Acts, the second chapter, it's the Lord who adds him to the church. And so when we make application of standing and looking and asking for the ancient paths that we would walk in them, do you understand that Jesus is the head of the church? And as members of the body, we don't get to say to the head, we're going to go over here. We're going to worship this way. And we're going to go over here and we're going to take the collective church treasury's money and we're going to do this with it. And as members of the body, we can't say to the head, we're going to go over here and we're going to stop emphasizing the word so much. You know, we just study the Bible too much around here. And people aren't interested in that. People aren't interested in walking in that. So we're going to make this church a place where people want to come. And the way we're going to do that, Jesus, is by moving away from these ancient things. We're going to move away from book, chapter, and verse, Jesus, and we're going to move away from the revelation of the Spirit, and we're going to redefine the new covenant in terms that are absolutely meaningless and communicate nothing. And at the end of the day, what we are in Christ is right back to the days of the judges when everybody's just doing what is right in their own eyes because there's no king in Israel. I want to tell you something about that way this morning. Hadn't experienced that. I can only accept what God has told me about that by faith. Because I have not experienced that. But beloved, I don't want to. That way is not going to where God is. Because God's not in that. That's what makes hell, hell. God is not there. And what makes heaven heaven is that God is there. And so why were the people of Jeremiah's day saying we will not walk in it? Because they didn't want God. They didn't want His law. They didn't want His will for their lives. They didn't want to drive down those narrow roads where they had to pay attention to everything and gird the loins of their minds up. 1 Peter 1:13. They didn't want to travel down that narrow way where they had to bring every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:1-4. They didn't want to walk down that narrow way. What, the devil doesn't care what you think about. The devil wants to outfit you in a sports car with a convertible and put you out on the Autobahn so that you can just drive as fast as you want and go all over and just live your best life. No restrictions. And the Lord says, I'm going to need you to stand at the crossroads and I'm going to need you to look. And I'm going to need you to ask. And I'm going to ask you to walk. And I'm going to promise you this. If you stand at the crossroads and you look and you ask for the ancient path where the good way is and you walk in it, you're going to find rest for your soul. For those of us who have found Jesus this morning, are you at peace within? Amen. Me too. I don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. I don't know if we're going to have tomorrow. But I know how it all ends. It all ends with Jesus. It all ends with Him coming. And He's going to take vengeance on those who did not know God and have not obeyed His gospel. And someone says, well, how can you be so sure of that? Well, because of what happened to the people of Jeremiah's day who said to the Lord, we're not going to do that. Okay, well, you're not going to walk in the ancient path. I'll tell you where you can go. You can just walk on down to Babylon. And some of them chose not to do that. And you know what they did? They died in Jerusalem. Spoiler alert. Some of them tried to escape to Egypt. You know what the Lord did? Went down there and got them. Took them to Babylon. But there was a faithful few folks who said, you know what? We're just going to believe what He said. That's all we're going to do. We're just going to believe what He said. And in simple faith, we're going to submit to Him. And yeah, it's going to be hard. And life in Babylon, it's going to be hard. But in simple faith, we're just going to believe what He said. And we're going to trust in what He said. And we're going to rest our hope fully upon what He said. And in 70 years, we're going to go home. And that is exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. And so because that happened, I can be sure that what He said is going to happen, is going to happen. Do you believe that this morning? I hope you do. Because I don't want you to go where there's no rest. Because I know you're weary and heavy laden. Because everybody is. That's just the collective experience of those who live under the sun in a sin-cursed world. This life is hard. But in the context of this life, there is a good way that's going somewhere. And the point of our preaching, the point of our teaching is to call all of us to Jesus Christ. Not just the Savior, and not just the friend, but to the King, and to the Lord, and to the Head. We're going to stand together and sing number 100.